423. You can reach me at any time. If I can pray with you, I'll pray with you, or I'll make an appointment with you. My email is vp123@rcn.com. vp123@rcn.com.
And praise the Lord. And folks, if you'd like to be part of the House of Prayer, we encourage you to do so. And Victor, again, that's Monday through Sunday at 8 p.m. and
8 a.m.
and 8 p.m.
Eastern time. Yep.
Praise God. Thank you, my friend, for coming on tonight.
All right. God bless you. Thanks
Victor,
for having me.
I'm already ready for your next message. Start preparing.
Amen.
See you again, brother. Hey, Victor, I want you to consider coming on twice a month, brother. Pray about it. We'd love to have you on as a regular guest.
Sounds good.
God bless you.
Okay, we'll talk. Bye.
Folks, that was Victor Mravlag. Next up, Pastor Dan Catlin of Messiah's Branch Ministries, messiahsbranch.org. This can be a good broadcast with Brother Dan. He's a longtime friend, and I'm a longtime listener of Messiah's Branch Radio. Some may ask, what was that cage business all about? Well, Word of God says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And when Worley preached about how in the early days they would do deliverance, and he was a school teacher at the time before he went into the ministry full-time. I mean, he was a full-time pastor, but he still had to have his day job until the church was able to pay him a salary, and he didn't have to do that anymore. But he would endlessly, you know, help people. Into the wee hours of the morning sometimes, and you have to get up early as a school teacher. And what are you going to do? You got a demon on the ropes? You've been, you know, battling for hours? Because demons don't come out with just one word, you know. You got to battle them. Even Paul, an experienced deliverance minister, it took him, one that says they came out in the same hour, not the same minute. So it's a war. You get back the land bit by bit. Deuteronomy 7:22 says, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. You know, God wants you to be able to hold the ground. And the Israelites didn't take the land back in one day. They got it bit by bit. God wanted them to be able to hold their deliverance, hold their land, and be able to stand when the enemy would try to make a comeback. Because they will try to come back. And we've got to stand our ground and keep those doors closed, and we can do that. Amen. But back to the Win Worley story, they were doing deliverance. And, man, they were getting tired. It was wee hours in the morning. They were looking at their watches. You know, hey, we got to get up in a few hours. So one says, well, Brother Win, what about that verse? It says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Let's try binding them. And they did. They bound them. They put them in a box, a cage. And everybody got rest that night until they could come back the next day and pick back up where they left off. And there's a verse that goes along with whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and it's a picture of what you can do with these demonic spirits, putting them into a box or a cave. It was, I believe, Gideon captured five kings. They put them into a cave, rolled a rock over it, right, until he could come back and deal with them, smite them. And that's what you can do. You're fighting a supernatural battle, so you can use things like the cage. Demons hate it. That you put them in that cage, you marinate them in the blood of Jesus, have the angels read the word of God to them, sword them, you know, forbid them to communicate with one another, and believe me, it works. Sometimes, you know, they just give up, make them confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and come on out. And other times, they'll remain in that box, and they'll be weakened until you can, and bound up until you can come back and fight another day. So that gives you and I a break. Otherwise, it would be nonstop. There would be no break. So bind them in the name of Jesus. You arrest them. It's like throwing them into a jail cell. You know, so you know, sober them up. Deal with them the next morning. Amen. Praise God for that. It's one thing we've learned. And there was one actual case of a fallen angel that was put in a box. And the lady didn't come back for 3 months. And when it came back, the church, they did deliverance, and that demon was, you know, fallen angel was screaming out, you know, I've been in this blankety-blank cage for 3 months. Let me out of here. It really works. Try it out, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You do it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen? Okay, well, with that, I better stop. I'm breaking off into a micro-sermon here. Yeah, sometimes like throw them into a pressure cooker, you know, that's what a box is like. Put those beans in there, you know, cook the beans and rice real fast. That's what we would do down in Central America. Everybody uses a pressure cooker. You can cook a pot roast real fast under pressure. Cook those demons until they're well done and they're ready to come out. They're tired of hearing the word of God and hearing the old rugged cross and being scourged and sorted and submerged in the blood of Jesus in a little one-inch box. They don't like that. I can tell you that for sure. It's deliverance ministry 101. Okay. Now, let me go to my notes here. I've got to get Pastor Dan's phone number. We're going to call him up right now and start with our next segment. If you're here for the first time, we want to welcome you. We're doing nightly broadcasts Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And we have our Monday early bird show at 3 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. London, for those who like to join us every Monday, with John Lyndon Cook. Okay, here I go. I'm going to dial now. Let's get Pastor Dan on. Hi.
Hello.
Pastor Dan?
Hello. Yeah, the phone was unplugged.
Here we go. Hey, perfect timing.
What? Do what now?
How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. Am I on the air right now?
Live right now on Omega Man Radio, putting a signal out worldwide. Folks, I want to welcome you tonight to our broadcast, and our special guest up right now is Pastor Dan Catlin, pastor of Messiah's Branch Ministries and Radio. And Pastor Dan, it's been a while since we've had you on. How you been doing, my friend?
Well, pretty good. First, a small correction there and a small apology. Number one, it's Pastor Dan Catlin. You know, Catlin instead of Caitlin. A lot of people make that mistake. And our ministry is Messiah's Branch, but we have a radio ministry and a homeless outreach, and we run all that through our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. And I was on radio, and I turned off the regular telephone because we use Skype on radio tonight, and I looked up at 3 minutes past the hour, and my phone was unplugged. So if you called more than once, then I apologize, and also when I came on the air, I said, are we on the air? Because I just didn't know.
You know what? It was perfect timing because I broke out into a micro sermon, and sometimes I do, and I said, we got to call Pastor Dan Catlin. You know, it all works out, amen?
Amen.
Way, Pastor Dan, I do use Skype, and if you want to send me a Skype invitation, I'll add you on, and we can put you in via Skype. Mine is Omega Man Radio.
Well, when I went, Omega Man Radio. I looked for Omega Man earlier, and there, you know, there's more than one Omega Man.
There's a lot
in Skype, but I didn't think to try to use radio. I'm trying to get broke into that Skype thing. People tell me that it sounds better, and I have a little better volume control with it, so I try to use it. But anyway, it's good to be on the program. I noticed you folks was talking about Ron Wyatt earlier.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Amazing man. You know, I'm a little bit about him, and then we'll go ahead and talk to some other things. I got some things we can talk about. First off, I met Ron Wyatt one time. I met him at a prophecy club meeting, and he was in Wichita, and all around the room he had all these different artifacts from different finds, you know, like the Ark of the Covenant and something from Mount Sinai and different things. And as I looked clear around the room, you know, I wondered, I thought, well, these are all the greatest stories in the Bible, you know, that he's sitting here saying that he found. And so I went over and I asked him, I said, okay, I said, one thing, if you answer this question, then I will either believe you or disbelieve you. When you found the Ark of the Covenant, what was your first and immediate reaction? And he laughed and he looked at me. He said, that was easy. I passed out. And I knew the man was telling the truth.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And after I watched, and I hadn't even watched the presentation yet, after I watched the presentation to him give it and everything, literally for 3 days afterwards, like I said, it was childhood stories, so to speak, and my Savior, you know, proving all those things to me that I had believed by faith. For about 3 days, I really couldn't talk. I just kind of mumbled, you know. It really put me in another state. So do I believe him? Most wholeheartedly, I believe him. And I know the man that took over for him also real well, Richard Reeves. He's a regular on our radio program at least a couple times a year. And so, folks, if you have a chance to go visit the Wyatt Museum or go visit War Online, you should do so, and you should check out those stories.
Where is their museum located at, Dan?
It's in Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
It's in Tennessee. You can find it by, again, by going to the Wyatt site, and they have a guide there right now. Excuse me, they're in the process of redoing it, you know, giving it a facelift, so to speak. But
yes.
Richard Reeves does. Have you ever met Richard?
No, sir, not in person, but I've listened to many of his interviews on your show.
Okay.
And fascinating guy.
Yeah, and he travels around the country and does presentations, you know, both for war and for his book. He's also writes books and things, and his website is toolonginthesun.com, toolonginthesun.com. And if you get a chance, you should go over and visit that also. Amazing things, amazing man, amazing story. People want to discredit that, and now they're talking about other people who are trying to take credit for finding the real Mount Sinai. And I've had a couple of those people on my program, and through talking to them, though, I've gotten them to admit that every one of them refound Mount Sinai, so to speak, after Ron Wyatt did. Ron Wyatt was the first one to find him.
There's no question about that. He was the original, him and his sons, and praise God for Ron Wyatt and the discoveries he was able to make. Even Henry Groover corroborates his discoveries, so he was the real deal, and fascinating stuff. I mean, it's pretty amazing to be able to see the real Mount Sinai and the video footage that's come out of there, and I mean, it brings the Bible alive. It was Richard Reeves. I couldn't think of his name fast enough, but I was actually telling the people, Pastor Dan, I had an opportunity to go to Israel in 2006 with Brother Al Cuppett.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was out there, I went over to the Garden Tomb, and I actually looked at a pit that I think Richard Reeves had been excavating before they filled it up. But it's pretty amazing. Looked down at
it. That must have been at the Garden Tomb.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah, bags down there.
Yeah, it's a worthy thing, you know. I honestly believe that, you know, it's like what Ron said. It's not that he's trying to prove it to anybody or not prove it to anybody, but these are things that we're supposed to believe by faith. But, you know, there's a reason why the Father has preserved those things, and I believe that reason is for a latter-day proof, you know, when people go to complete denial of Yeshua Messiah or Jesus Christ, if you will,
yes,
that these things will be brought forward to prove the truth.
Amen. And folks, if you're just joining us, welcome to Omega Man Radio. Tonight is episode 824, November 8, 2012, and our special guest tonight, Pastor Dan Catlin. And forgive me, Pastor Dan, for saying Caitlin. I should know better, but I've always known you as Pastor Dan, as so many
do.
Yeah,
amen.
And you've got a pretty amazing testimony. Before we go further tonight, would you please start out tonight, and would you bless this show with a prayer?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father God, I just ask that you would bless this program. Give all those folks out there that are listening in, Father, ears in which to hear the truth. And don't let the message come forth by me or by the Omega Man, but let the message come forth from your spirit, Father, and not ours. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. You know,
Pastor Dan,
we should go ahead.
Would you also give out your contact information, your
okay,
website,
well,
and tell people how they can reach you?
Okay, I'm not used to doing this on the other side, you know. I'm used to doing the interviewing part. Okay, folks, our main site that you should go look us up, and you can find everything else out about us by going to this site, but it's at propcr.com. If you Google propcr.com, you'll bring up tons of things. It'll either say Pastor Dan or Messiah's Branch, but propcr.com is our blog spot. From there, there's links to how you can listen to our radio programs. I've been doing talk radio for about 8.5, 9 years. I did shortwave a couple of years before that, but I've been on American Voice Radio for about 8.5 years since their existence. I interview various different people, that a lot of them write books, and a lot of them are about the end times. Sometimes we have kind of political guests on, but everything is towards Bible prophecy, because I don't believe, I know that we are in the time of the end. This is the time before Yeshua's return. It's the greatest time in history, and everything is a countdown to that. And all things are because of that. And by looking at things in that mannerism, then we should be able to better understand things like the election and other things. But anyway, prophecyhour.com, I have a phone number. If you need a prayer or something, you can call me at 620-878-4682. I give that out online, on the air, for prayer. If you don't get me and you get the machine, leave me your phone number, and I'll call you back and pray for you. And if you need, you know, a little bit of counseling, I do that too. Because there's so many people that are disconnected, and let alone after listening to finding out that we're in the end times and the timing of events and some of the other things, people kind of get disconnected or can't get those answers from the mainstream church. So I give out that phone number to try to help you, if at all possible. You can also go look at our other site. I'll shut up here in a second.
Oh, no, please. Give out that other site, and also tell them about Facebook, too.
I don't know. I think Facebook's just PastorDan.com. You can find my Facebook link from prophecyhour.com. It's on there. There's a link to it. I think I'm just on Facebook as Pastor Dan Catlin. I'm really not a big, you know, Facebook person, but you can also go to WichitaHomeless.com if you want to see. We have a mission church in Wichita, Kansas, that where we help the homeless and the poor. And people say, you know, well, Pastor Dan, you know, aren't the homeless poor? Well, of course the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor in the very bad neighborhood that we're in. We people that are barely able to keep roofs over their head, come looking for clothing for their children and miracle prayers. And, you know, I anoint people with oil and lay hands on them, and we see, you know, amazing miracles right there on the spot. And I know you do some deliverance ministry there here on your radio program. Well, you know, there's nothing like seeing a real demon and casting it out, you know.
Amen.
One-on-one
you do that
person.
Too.
And so we, you know, yeah, absolutely.
A deliverance minister too, folks. I mean, he sees it all. And
well, we do the whole spectrum, you know,
yes.
But that's when you're called and sent forth to do something, the Father doesn't just empower you with, you know, part of what you need. He empowers you with what you need. And, you know, I have been doing, I've been fighting against demons longer than I've been going to, you know, help the homeless and the poor. I mean, I fought against people. I went and visited Brother Stair, you know, and, you know, that was a real demonic event. That's up on our website at messiahsbranch.org. You can look at that if you want to. But I've cast out demons that, brother, that when we, there's this one demon in this 12-year-old child that, well, I'll tell you a small story. You want to hear it?
I love stories, Pastor Dan.
Okay, you love stories. Okay, well, this isn't a parable. This is a real story. Some people came to me that were neighbors here in a small town that I live at and asked me if I knew anything or knew anybody that could get rid of demons. And I said, well, you know, what's going on? And this 12-year-old boy that I knew used to be as a neighbor, used to live right next door to me, but by that time they were moved across town. Anyway, they said that, and I almost said his name, I don't want to say his name. Anyway, this boy was in the same room when his mother and stepfather were drinking, and the boy was offered a shot of peppermint schnapps. And, you know, y'all might not ever want to take another drink of peppermint schnapps after you hear this. Anyway, they offered him a drink of peppermint schnapps, and he took the shot, and he immediately fell down on the floor and started talking in another language. You know, they didn't know, you know, guess what it sounded like. They thought maybe Arabic or something. And the mom jumped down on the floor and grabbed him and said, you know, they recognized it as a demon, even though that they were in the world. And she said, don't go into him, go into me. Well, that was a stupid thing to
Uh-oh.
Say. So it went into mom. But mom was the easy one to get it out of. Anyway, and so basically they came to me after they had been to several churches, and the demon had been cast out by ministers in what I'll call mainstream Christian churches around here, two different churches. But the demon kept coming back, you know, and kept coming back stronger. And I said, well, if you want me to, I'll go over and have a look. at this child. So we went over, and he was at his aunt's house, and I prayed and I checked things out, and then I asked him, I said, hey, you know, I knew him by name, and I said, why don't you say the Lord's Prayer with me? And he said, okay. We go, okay, our Father who art, and that is as far as he could get. When he got to art, have you ever seen The Exorcist?
Oh.
Well, this person turned into something that looked real close to that,
wow.
If not worse, because it was like, you know, right there in front of me, and started hissing and spitting and you know, wanting to kill and everything. And that's what this demon had been wanting him to do anyway, was kill his mother. That was his goal, was trying to kill his mother.
Wow.
And so, you know, I immediately just bound him. I said, the blood of Yeshua. And I said, I bind you in the name of Yeshua and by his blood, and threw him down on the bed and bound him. Because he couldn't cast. Here's the key thing. You know, you don't go, okay, I'll cast him out. Well, that's not what you do. That's been the problem with this boy anyway, because they cast the demon out without finding out, number one, where it came from, and number two, if the boy is ready to get saved, because if the person
yes.
isn't ready to get saved and accept the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit come inside and fill up, then you have an empty vessel where the demon leaves and comes back with 7 times 7.
Right.
Well, absolutely. Anyway, so I bound the demon, and then I talked with the mom and everything, and I got him to come. I was helping out some bikers at this little church in Wichita, Kansas. This was about in 98, I think. And anyway, so we brought him to the church, you know. And by then, I held him in the church, and with some brothers that I knew were pretty big, you know, strong Christian brothers. Although it was kind of funny, because the demon kept tormenting Brother Brent that I left him with for a couple of days. In fact, Brent called me on the phone. This demon will not leave me alone. He keeps saying stupid things at me. And I know Brent, why he was repented. You know, he still had a little bit of sin in him. You know what I mean? So this demon was reminding him of it over the course of 24-hour period. It was funny. When I came back to Florence, to where I live at, to investigate where the demon come from. Well, make a long story short, so this don't be a 3-hour thing. Went to the parents' house and went to search it. I took two real spiritual women with me, and we went and searched the house. And I wasn't finding anything inside. And the stepdad, you know, come inside, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he says, hey. He said, man, come out. He said, Dan. He didn't call me Pastor Dan. I hadn't got that nickname yet. That nickname came from the poor and the homeless. Anyway, he said, come outside. I want to show you something. So we walked over to an old car he had, and he said, well, I want to show you this. And he said, this stuff I think I'm going to get rid of. And I said, wait a minute, that stuff you think you're going to get rid of? And I got a real bad feeling. And I said, wait a minute, don't even show it to me unless you're ready to get rid of it of your own free will. Then I don't even want to see it. And so I turned to walk around and go back in the house. He said, no, I want to get rid of it. And I said, okay. So we opened up the car door. Inside of it was all kinds of Satanistic tapes and books on witchcraft and how to cast spells, and just
wow.
went on and went on. Black candles, capes, you name it was in there. And so I had him start a bonfire, and I helped him throw the stuff on the bonfire. And when you would throw even the smallest little cassette tape on the bonfire, it
yeah.
would was like an explosion, and it would shoot smoke up in the air. And back to this minister from another church, that he said, when he got over there, told me, he said, I knew something was going on. And I asked if I could talk freely, and they said, yeah. And he said, yeah. He said, I knew something was going on. He said, but then let alone when I seen the smoke going, I knew there was something different about that smoke. Well, anyway, so we burn up all the stuff, and we cast the demon, which really wasn't, had went into mom, it hadn't really went in and stayed, so to speak, and, you know, prayed over them. They was all repented up, and went back to Wichita, to the church, you know.
Yes.
And that ended up into about a 7.5-hour ordeal to pray these different spirits out. And at one point, Brother Brent was a real big ex-outlaw biker, and this 12-year-old kid was just throwing him across the room like he was made out of paper. And
superhuman strength, right?
Yeah, strength-wise, yeah. He had uncanny strength, you know. And there were several other big, strong, grown men. They could, and it was like five of them on him, and they couldn't hardly hold him down at all.
Yeah.
And so I got on my knees, and I prayed about it. And, you know, at that point, now this is a key to deliverance of any sort. Whether you're going to go pray for somebody for healing or anything else, the thing that you got to do is you got to make sure you're clean. Listen,
amen.
Christ died for our sins because we are not perfect, and we can sin with our minds. So we always need to repent before we do anything like that. Anyway, so
yes.
I got on my knees, and I had this woman put her hand on me while I prayed and repented, and then I went back over to him, and I said, by the blood of Yeshua, I got on top of him, and I said, the blood of Yeshua, that arm is chained to the ground, and the blood of Yeshua, that arm is chained to the ground, and your chest is chained to the ground by the blood of Yeshua. And his arms immediately went pinned to the ground, and as he tried to raise his arms up, you could see the impressions of chains on his arm, but there was no chain, just the impressions of chains.
Folks, take notes here. This is a powerful testimony. Pastor Dan, you've got great faith. People say, hey, I don't believe that can happen. It's because you don't believe, folks. Jesus
couldn't
do many miracles because of their unbelief. And Pastor Dan was using his authority, binding those arms in Jesus, Yeshua's name, and they were literally pinned to the ground, weren't they?
Yeah, amen.
With imprints of like a chain, is that right?
Yeah, you could tell it looked like the impression of a chain on his arm. You know what
wow.
I mean? And it left him there. Anyway, after the course of where I had fell down in this that took the ordeal so long is the fact that I was having some other people help me. And because I thought I needed help, you know, and when it came down to it, they were a hindrance and not a help.
Yes.
And so after a few hours of this, I finally, you know, prayer, I just got tired of it. I had these two men hold him, pick him up and hold him out. And it came after that Brent had went over and put a Bible on him and tried to hold him down. And he said, I don't know why the demon screamed something about, I don't know why you're letting this man do it when he doesn't have as much power as you. And then I snapped to it. So I just went over to the young man and I anointed his head with oil while two people were holding him up. And I said, by the blood of Yeshua, out and be gone and don't come back out. And the kid passed out kind of like, and then he came back awake and he threw up and that was the end of it.
Amazing.
Just like that. When my faith finally said, that's enough, and I believe it's enough, then it was enough. And that was the end of it. And, folks, it's just like when you pray on somebody, by Yeshua, when he healed people, he turned around and he said, by your faith you're healed. By your faith. Because they had the faith to believe it. That's why he couldn't do much in the city where he was grown up at, because they didn't have faith in him. But by your faith, you're healed. And by faith, you can do anything. You're only limited as far as your faith goes.
Man, that's exactly right. You know, there's, like my grandmother used to say, Pastor Dan, you know, we live beneath our privileges. Folks, we've got a lot of things available to us if we'll only believe what the Word of God says and get out there and do it. And,
yeah, there you go. I got a scripture for I want to share. Can I share a scripture?
Oh, I love the scripture. Yes, sir.
Okay, and this is all going to encompass also, and I'm going to talk about our ministry. Our ministry is a place that I was ordered by God the Father to do and to be in. But, you know, this is not just justification. This justifies everything that I said. Just let me read the scripture to you. Okay. It says, it's in, by the way, I'm talking King James Version Bible. We're in James, amen, James chapter 2, verse 14. Okay. What does it profit, my brethren, though that a man say you have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and fulfilled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believe there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But thou wilt know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest that thou how faith was wrought in his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture is fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then how by a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What that means, brethren, is this. Is if you have the faith doesn't say, look, I just believe in Yeshua and sit down on the couch. That means by my faith, I get up and I feed the hungry and the homeless and the poor and I cast out demons and we heal people. You have to, just as Isaac was, you know, Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, that was the work part of his faith. He believed God. He believed that it would be all right. So his work was he was going to show the father through his work of going to sacrifice his son. That was the work part of it, but it was something that came natural. And he was stopped, but it was made perfect because he believed God. So if you believe God, if the father says that you're supposed to go and do something, get up and go do it. What you need will be added to you. But you have to get up out of your chair and do it. You know, these people that say that you just have, you know, well, just believe in Jesus Christ and sit back down on the couch. I'm sorry, that don't work. You have to, works comes natural. Whether it's, you know, it's like the people ask, well, you know, Pastor Dan, and that's what the people nickname me. They say, well, why do you feed us? Why do you care for us? Why do you love us? Well, to me, it's because it's natural. It's the natural essence of the Holy Spirit coming out. I believe what I'm doing is natural that everybody should be doing, and I don't feel a bit peculiar to doing in the things that I do. I feel that it's normal. I feel that it's abnormal not to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Pastor Dan, if anybody deserves the title pastor, it would be you, because you feed the flock. You take care of them, literally.
Literally, okay. Let's go with that.
With the Word of God, correct?
Yeah, amen. I've got a little time left.
We got about half an hour on the clock. We got plenty of time.
Okay, well, let's go with this. All right, folks. I was called out of the world a long time ago. The Father saved me from going to prison, amen. I told him if he'd save me from going to prison that my life belonged to him and that he could use me for anything as long as whatever was left over from raising my family, you know, the rest of my time absolutely belonged to him. We called on me one time, and he said, well, you know, you're my minister, get up out of bed, you know. And so I asked him at that point, I said, Father, you know, I still wore clothes like an outlaw biker because it's the lifestyle that I came out of. And I says, well, you want me to cut my hair? You go get a, you know, clean up? So, well, I mean, I am clean, but, you know, suit and tie thing, and said, no, I have you, so you like you were, or like you are. And so that few years went by, and I started helping the Prophecy Club out, Stan Johnson at some of his meetings,
yes.
And started meeting a lot of people. And by the way, Stan asked me to present the news. I look up, I'm also a big news person.
Yes, sir.
I always have been. And you can find the latest breaking news on our blog that pertains to what's going on. But now the Prophecy Club, Stan, has asked me to find news for them and present it to him so he can put some comments on it. And I do that on his radio program twice a week. About in 2000, one night, it was a Saturday night, I went to bed, and the Father wouldn't let me sleep. He said, you know, feed the poor. And I'm going, you know, okay, is that a voice or is that my head? What is it? He said, feed the poor. I said, okay, I know, I recognize my father's voice. What do you want? Feed the poor. Okay. I said, I can't feed the poor. I have no money. You know, I can barely pay rent on the place that I'm preaching at in Wichita. Leave me alone. And I live 60 miles from Wichita. And we'll go back to sleep. And I this kept, well, this was, went on all night. And I know my father's voice. You know, he speaks to me when he wants me to do something, when he wanted me to go to down the stairs and expose that mess, you know, and help put him in jail. That's what he did. Anyway, so this kept up till like 6 in the morning. And I finally said, okay, I'll commit to it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'll commit to it if you'll just let me sleep. And so at 6 in the morning, I went and put it out on, I have a news list, which I call the Prophetic News Service, a Yahoo just announcement list where I post the news. And I posted on it, okay, I'm going to start feeding the poor and the hungry and blah, 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 and put it out on it. And I was able to sleep. Well, that Tuesday, I went over, it was one of my days to go over and minister in Wichita, and I went over there and I found two women that were beating the people in the park. And I stood back and watched them do their thing, you know, and at the end of it all, I thought, man, what am I going to say to this woman? But I felt like this was the person I was supposed to help. So, and I thought, well, that'd be an easy out, too. I ain't got to do it all myself. I'm always looking for an easy out, you know. Anyway, so I walked up and I said, you know, to this woman who was an old grandma, and I said, you know, I don't know how you're going to take this, but this last Saturday night, the father kept me up all night telling me I was supposed to feed the poor in Wichita, and I really didn't know what that meant, but he wouldn't let me go to sleep till. And she goes, oh, she just immediately burst into tears and grabbed me and hugged me, and she says, I was praying all Saturday night for the father to send me somebody. And I said, really? And I said, well, here I am.
There you go.
So anyway, and so I went with her to a couple of places and prayed on some people under the bridge and went home, and that was on a Tuesday night, and I put it out on my Prophetic News Service list that what I was going to do, and talked about this woman, Granny Connie. And I was still praying for confirmation because, you know, I'm a poor man anyway, but it doesn't matter. Point being is I didn't have a huge finances to do anything. But anyway, so I prayed about it and sent it out on the internet, and the next morning I had a, you know, I noticed there was a message on the phone, and so, you know, I turned on message, and it's Steve Quayle.
Steve Quayle, yes.
Yeah, and I had met him one time, and Steve is on my you know, Prophetic News Service list, because, you know, I do spend a lot of time in the news, and it's really accurate, and, you know, I was one of the, this is back in when people were first starting using the internet, and I was, you know, and still am one of the most accurate, but I was one of few that was doing it. Anyway, Steve Quayle was on my list, make a long story short. And Steve, you know, I thought, wow, what does he want? You know, what's Steve Quayle want? Okay, well, I didn't call him back. And so later the phone rang, and I picked it up, and he says, this is Steve Quayle. And I said, yeah. And he says, who's this? And I said, well, this is Dan Catlin. And like I say again, I wasn't going by Pastor Dan. That came later. Anyway, and he says, well, I read on your news service last night what you're going to do over there in Wichita. He says, can you accept a shipment? And I said, Steve, I didn't order anything. He said, no. He said, I want to donate. And I said, okay, that's cool. I said, yeah, I'll just send it over. He says, well, listen, he says, I don't think you quite understand. He says, do you have a forklift over there? And I said, a forklift? What are you talking about, Steve? And Steve says, well, listen, he said, yesterday, he said, I was on my forklift in the warehouse, and God spoke to me with an audible voice and almost knocked me off of the forklift and told me that I was supposed to stand with you on feeding the poor. And so I got a donation. So Steve donated thousands and thousands of dollars worth of, you know, food, you know, dehydrated food. And so that was also my confirmation. I said, so then I told, you know, the father, I talked to him all day long. And I said, well, I guess. So, right, that's my confirmation. You know, I can't get out of this. You just sent me a couple of tons of food, you know. So anyway, so we started feeding the poor and the homeless. And, you know, I've been doing that now 13 years. It's all by faith. You know, just as I say, you know, I know that I'm supposed to get up and go feed them. And so many days I barely have. Let me go throw this in there, folks. You know, the preacher should be the poorest guy on the block, because I spend down to the last dime in my pocket to help people.
Yes.
We have no guide. You say, well, what do you do? Well, that's what don't we do? First off, we feed them. We have clothing. I have first aid. There's some people that think that I'm their doctor. Believe it. I've sewed people up from knife wounds. I take stitches out. I put stuff in. I pray on them. I give them clothing, over-the-counter medications. You know, just it goes on and on. Right now, it's a real big problem. We've been seeing so many women go homeless, and there's not enough room for them in this city.
You know,
Brother
Jim, let me throw in a question there. There may be some saying, but I don't understand. Dan, don't you live in Wichita, Kansas, where there's like 600 churches? What's the deal?
Okay, let's back up. There's over 800 churches in Wichita, Kansas. I got you again, man. Get your facts right. I'm joking. I'm not picking on him, folks. I wouldn't pick on anybody. Listen to my radio program and see if I pick on people. Anyway, no, brother. There's over 800 churches in that city. And they do not fulfill. It's ridiculous. And you forget, and beyond the churches, there's agencies. There's homeless agencies and shelters and things like that. But it's ridiculous that somebody like me has to drive 60 miles over. I drive over twice a week, open up the church, and we bring them in and feed them and clothe them and pray on them. And the agencies that have millions of dollars in budgets, when they don't have room for families, I can't count how many families they send to me, because I ask them, well, why are you calling me, or why did you show up here? Well, because such and such agency gave me your number and said that you could, figure out something for us. When the agencies, they can't take care of these people because the agency is full or shelter is full, or they missed their guideline by one little note or something, they'll send them to us. Because they know that miracles happen there. In fact, whenever they have a new hire in one of the agencies, they'll bring the new hire down and point out our ministry and everything that we do. You know, it's almost ridiculous that these people with millions of dollars in their budgets send people to a place that has no budget. So I'll give you an example. We had a man and his wife and three children came to us. That all the agencies turned them down. They sent them to us. The two of the children had some mental problems where that meant they should have got help from the state and a whole bunch of things. Well, I had no money, and you helped me on this one. I prayed about it, and I put it out on the internet that I needed to find these people a place to go, otherwise they were sleeping in the street. And through you and some other people that are on my news list or, my mission update list, we rose enough money to buy. Within a few hours, we had enough money to pay the rent on a trailer for them, a two-bedroom trailer, for 3 weeks and pay the deposit. And the man was then able to go to work at a local, not instant workplace, but, temporary work service, and was able to keep up with things. But,
praise God.
But that was
these
a miracle.
Are people just like the listeners out there, just like you and I, folks, they're people, okay? They have the same needs, and they're a place of desperation out there. They're in need out there. Many of them don't have a place to live right now due to circumstances that happened, and they need food, they need shelter, and they have nowhere to go. They're literally in disaster, like many out there that have been hit by this hurricane. And as Pastor Dan has just stated, there's over 800 churches, and churches are not stepping up to the plate. They're not opening up their fellowship halls. Pastor Dan, I'll tell you a story that really touched me that I remember you told one time, is you had a couple homeless men that were living under a bridge. They had nowhere else to go, and it got so cold that literally one of the gentlemen had to knock off spiders, and there was a rabbit that came out and had bit the guy. He couldn't even fend off himself from the animal attacks out there. And I'm saying, God have mercy, how can this be? And is it the case that sometimes you only have standing room only? I mean, you ever have to turn people away?
Okay. Right now there is some help with the winter overflow open, but it's hard to explain. There's just it's always full. You know what I mean? There's just so many people because of this economy that's in disaster, and you're right. Here's the problem with the church. Let's talk about that for a second. You know, the church has turned itself into a corporation, you know, a 501c corporation. That's what it is, and they're run like a business. That means that the pastor, when you used to be back in the 60s or before, you could knock on the door of a church and you could say, hey, I need some help. Well, you know, chances are that pastor already knew your predicament because you lived in a neighborhood. And so he was already ready for you. And he would just say, okay. And he would just dole out what was needed, you know. And he really wouldn't have to go through a board of directors and five other people, you know, to get okay to do something. You know, he could do it immediate, and the church had more of a heart to do it. But now the church is set up like a business. The only money that a pastor can pull out of his pocket is his own money. And he can't open the door of the church and say, come in and sleep, because he doesn't control the church, you know, at all in any way, shape, or form. You know, he can be fired by the board of directors or the council of elders or whatever. And so he really doesn't have the power that he should have to be open the door. So his, while some of them have a great heart for it, it isn't their fault because they're, you know, they're tied up with bureaucracy. And that's what the church has created for itself. The church, you know, a 501c corporation, the head of that is the state.
Yes.
The head of a church is Jesus Christ or Yeshua Messiah.
Amen.
You know, and so when you put the state ahead of something, you're putting the state. That means the state has rules. That means those rules supersede God's rules. And,
yes.
You know, it can't be that way. There's only one head of the church. There's only one head of a household, and that's the Father, you know, Jesus Christ, you know. He goes the Father, Son, you know what I mean. And so when things aren't set up in that manner, then it's just not going to work.
It's
just
not,
like down the
Go ahead.
I was going to say, give an example of a church that I use this example a lot. There's a church down the street from us that got a fairly famous pastor in, and he expanded their church really big, and people come from all over the city to this church, but now he's been thrown out because of adultery. But anyway, they come from all over the city to this huge church, and he added a bowling alley, a tennis court.
Oh, my
and,
goodness.
You know, on the inside, not on the outside, on the inside of this church, and there's a fellowship hall that does okay, but yet it's three blocks from me, and I'm in one of the poorest neighborhoods in Wichita, and so the poor won't even go near the church, let alone if they walk across the grounds, you know, they get, you know, in trouble or the police called on them. So this is the church. Is
well,
this
Dan,
what the
people
church
don't need a Starbucks in the church or a bowling alley or a swimming pool or gymnasium. Folks, they need what you and I need. They need ministry. They need healing, deliverance. They need food. And if you're just tuning in, we've got a special guest tonight. We're honored to bring to you Pastor Dan Catlin from Wichita, Kansas. And he has a mission from God to feed the poor, to minister to people that come in that no one else wants to help or there's no room at the inn for. And he needs your help tonight. And I want to say Pastor Dan is one of the pioneers in internet radio. He's on Shortwave, American Voice Radio Network. And you know, Pastor Dan, I found out about you when I was living in Costa Rica back around 2003. And through an extraordinary chain of events, the Lord relocated me to, of all places, Colombia. And I said, Colombia?
Really?
I'll get kidnapped over there. So I went over to Cartagena, which is probably the safest part of Colombia. It's out near the coast. At least they have soldiers in the street to protect the tourists with machine guns. And I said, well, maybe the FARC won't kidnap me and I won't get taken up to the mountains, you know, disappear until
right.
someone ransoms me. And I would have been left there a long time, I'm sure. But anyway, I get up there and I couldn't have been any, you know, further away from English-speaking country than go to Colombia. And I get over there and I said, God have mercy, what am I going to do? I'm cut off from all my information. Well, thank God for internet cafes. And thank God for Pastor Dan's radio program, one of the greatest radio programs you ever find on the Internet. And it got me through many a dark day, Pastor Dan. I used to get to the Internet cafe, get in there with my laptop, and folks, it was a slow Internet connection. It's not like the broadband that you may be listening to our program on tonight. And believe me, I would get in there, and it would take me quite a bit of time, but I would anxiously await Pastor Dan's posting of his new program and download him, because it was my lifeline. And, you know, I followed this man and his ministry, and they're the real deal. They obey the Great Commission. They get out there, they preach the gospel, they minister to the poor and needy, to the widows and the orphans. They stand up for Israel. And they've got a lot of cool programs and guests. I want to encourage you, if you've never listened to it before, you need to start listening to this program. But not only that, support that. We're going to tell you how you can do that here in a moment. But I just want to tell you, I've got a long history with this ministry of Pastor Dan Caitlin. They're the real deal. And if you've been looking for a way to help the poor, the widows, the orphans, and bless others that are in need, because we're commanded to do so. In fact, God says, he that lendeth to the poor has lent to me, and I shall repay. And you can do it, and you can be assured that every bit of support gets to the people who need it. Pastor Dan, in Wichita, you have a mission. Describe a typical day for yourself. When you open up the doors, what kind of people come through that door, and what happens next once they enter in? What do you offer them?
Well, it's like opening the door to family at first. You know, when I get there, you know, they're you know, outside waiting for me. You know, there's always a crowd outside waiting, and you know, open the door and immediately some of them, you know, just go over and start pitching and helping to get the water up and all those things, and you know, we get things going, and you know, then I get on it while they. Then we rearranged the front room, you know, when they sit down in the front room from where we had had Bible anyway. And so I'll go and I'll take and get into this old bus that I got, and I go to the other side of town and pick up a whole bunch more people and bring them back that are waiting. And then as soon as I get back from there, my wife is in the meantime and a helper. That's a homeless girl. That's been one of our most favorite, one of our largest helpers all along. Tammy, bless her heart. She and my wife are making egg sandwiches for them, and someday my sons are there and they'll make egg sandwiches or somebody else from my family. And so we're noted famous for egg sandwich. People are showing up all over town for egg sandwiches, you know. And so while they're eating egg sandwiches, then the line to my office starts, you know. Then people, you know, with some have specific needs, some want to talk. I'll give out prayers, or some of them will need ministering to, you know, some of them will need first aid. And they come in for the clothing closet, and, you know, this just goes on. It's a mad rush all day long. I'm just consistently busy, you know, from the time that I get there until I leave, you know, with you know, ministering individually to people. And
you give them a hot meal. You have, if they need clothes, socks.
They get those
bags and blankets. Get those things?
Yeah, they get those things, absolutely. They get sleeping bags, blankets, you know, and things as we have them. We've been able to get blankets lately because another ministry actually has been giving us government blankets, which they're supposed to give to us anyway. But anyway, so we've had an abundance of blankets for the last 2 years. I haven't had to ask anybody to buy any.
In provisions, but then you also give them the Word of God, don't you?
Yes, we try to tell everybody, and if you want to do this, folks, large print King James Bibles, you can usually find them in dollar stores and things like that. They're very large print, and King James Bibles, they go for about $10 a piece. But let me tell you what, that's like gold to these homeless people, because most of them have bad eyesight, and they don't have glasses, or they can't go to the, you know what I'm saying? So a large print Bible is gold to them.
Brother Dan,
We've given out thousands upon thousands of large print King James Bibles in 13 years.
At this juncture, for those just tuning in, give out your contact information. Tell people the name of your ministry, how they can contact you, and if someone's listening and says, hey, you know what, I would like to help. I've been looking for a place where what I would give actually gets to the people that need it.
And, okay, well, let's go with this, folks. First off, ProfCR.com. There you can get our address, phone number, all those things. I'll also give you my phone number. My personal phone number is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. But if you go to ProfCR.com, you can also find our mailing address there, and you can also, now we can use donations online, we really do, because we, the poor, the congregation, the people that we minister are the poor, so they can't pay the bills. This place has always existed because people listen, like Bruce Lee and other people listen to us on radio, and they support our ministry. So you can donate online, or you can mail a check or a money order, or you can mail a sleeping bag, or you can mail some shoes. I mean, you want to buy some new shoes, send them to us. You want bags of socks, people send us bags of socks. Over-the-counter medications in the mail. While there's many miracle prayers given, come on, God the Father does not heal every little tiny cold, you know, and headache. And so, you know, pain relievers, toothbrushes, toothpaste. You can send those things if you want to send a physical thing instead of dollars. Thanksgiving's coming up, which is our biggest day of the year, and we've just about really, I think, got all the turkeys we need in now. But there's other things that go along with the meal. So if you want to support the meal, and all that we do with it, you know, you can send a donation for that. We help. You can't. We're only limited by the faith to believe. It goes like this: some people need a house. We prayed in houses for them, just like I talked with Bruce Lee a while ago, or with the Omega Man here a while ago about praying in the money to get a trailer for these people. We also, you know, we pray in everything. It's just so much that we do for them. Some people come in and say, Pastor Dan, and that's what the homeless nickname me, by the way. They don't call our ministry Messiah's Branch, even though it's on the side of the wall. It's on the side of the building. They say, well, let's all go to Pastor Dan's. And so that's where Pastor Dan came from. And yes, I'm a legally ordained minister, if that really matters, but I'm called and sent forth by the Father. That's what matters.
Pastor Dan,
anyway,
what days of the week does the mission open here in Wichita?
We're open during the week. Just give us a call if you want to come over, and we welcome that too. We welcome visitors. If you want to come over, give me a call. Let me know you're coming, and I'll look out for you. And you can come over. It's located at 900 South Broadway in Wichita, Kansas. We do not. We ask that you don't send any packages there because the mail service there never really delivers them at the right time, and so we have to drive clear across town. And Wichita is a big city to pick up packages. We ask that you mail packages to our Florence address, which is 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas. But again, you can find all that out online by going to either WichitaHomeless.com or prophecyhour.com. At WichitaHomeless.com, if you go to the links, you can click on some videos that we put up that and see what the news media has said about us over the last few Thanksgiving or so. You can check us out that way. And I really encourage you to do that. Go see what we look like and see what we do and see what the homeless are. It's just like we have an open-door ministry. If you want to see what we do, you're more than welcome to come see what we do. We hide nothing. We are who we are, and it's all out there.
You know what I liked about your ministry is that it's different than many is that you give updates on how many egg sandwiches we made or hard-boiled eggs we boiled or chili mac or, you know, and we had, you know, X number of cakes. And folks, I'm reading an email one day. I'm sitting in Columbia, and I'm listening to Messiah's Branch every day, and I got an email from Sister Catlin, and I don't know where I put that I in your name. Forgive me.
It's okay.
Sister Catlin, and she says, yes, we made X number of sandwiches, and we need $50 to buy some ground beef to make hamburgers. And, you know, one thing about giving a lot of ministries, you never know where it goes. And I said, you know what, I want to buy some hamburger for people. And, you know, it's a chance where, you know, the ministry will tell you where they have need of, and you can put it to a particular source or give it to a general fund. And, folks,
and we'll do
they
that.
Need your help because it takes resources. As Pastor,
you know, it sounds funny. Listen to this, brother. I want to tell the people this. It is funny, folks. So, you know, email is a wonderful thing, and we have a thing called a mission updates list, and a lot of people get on it. And we I'll go to the place, and we may have only 2 dozen eggs. Look, we give out a bunch of egg sandwiches every day, go to 15, 20 dozen egg sandwiches sometimes at the high end, low end sometimes 10 dozen eggs, and then at 4:30 my wife serves a regular meal. Okay, so like he said, we may need hamburger, and I'll get online and I'll say, put out on the mission update, we need $50 because we need to go buy five rolls, or not, you can't buy five rolls of hamburger for $50 now, but anyway, but we might need two or three rolls of hamburger, and we'll give you how much we need, and we'll put it out. And somebody goes, oh, I want to do that. And so they'll send us, through PayPal and go, okay, here's $50. And so I'll take that $50 that's instantly on my card, and I'll run down, and I'll buy the food for that day with it. But you see, that goes back to something that's by faith. Most
yes.
people wouldn't do the things we do, even leave Florence, and let them, well, I don't have the money to feed today. What am I going to feed these people? Well, I'll figure it out when I get there, because the Father will figure it out. I don't have gas to get back because I spent all my money on them the last day that I was there. So, I've got enough gas to get there, so the Father will provide. And that's how it's done. The Father provides by faith.
You do it by faith, and God meets the needs every time. And, folks, He uses you and I to meet the needs. That's it. God wants to bless you, and He'll work through you. All you've got to do is be obedient and obey the Word of God. We're to help the poor and the needy, the widows, the orphans, and bless Israel. And if you've been tuning in tonight, special guest Pastor Dan Ketlin, website prophecyhour.com is
your
yes, website. And give out your other website.
ProphecyHour.com and WichitaHomeless.com. At WichitaHomeless.com is the homeless website, and at that place you can see the videos and the pictures that we have that, show who we are and what we do. But you can also find that from ProphecyHour.com. At ProphecyHour.com you can find everything about us because there's a link to everything we do there.
We've got about 10 minutes left on the clock, folks, and we're going to give out a little bit more information here before we close, including how you can tune into the program, et cetera. But Pastor Dan mentioned something very important. They're going to be opening up the mission there for Thanksgiving. And, folks, many of you are looking forward to Thanksgiving, being with your family, sitting down, having some turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes and gravy, some good hot bread, and fellowship.